This sermon was preached by Pastor Naphtali Ogalo at Grace Baptist Church, Eldoret, Kenya.
I want us to think through this passage that we have before us here as the Lord enables us. First of all, people generally say in Kenya here that the only way to get what you want is through corruption. Now, I know that's a big statement, but generally it is said. For example, people say, if you are to get a job nowadays, you have to corrupt your way. There's no clear way. You can just go to an office, knock, or send your application and get a job. Now, again, I say that's a wide statement, but I know you know generally that is what people say. You don't get what you need unless you corrupt your way, so they say. Now, I remember when I was in school, as we were finishing our Form 4 a few years ago, that different companies or managers of different companies would actually come to our school. It was a technical school. Various managers from different companies would come to our school and schools like that and plead with students to join their companies. So it was about October, November. And then they would come and they would say, please, would you like to join our company? We would train you, we would give you this, we would give you this, we would give you a job, we would give you a house. Please accept our offer. And so when this company has come and you have filled the forms, the following week another manager would come and would ask, oh, who among you would love to join maybe Kenya Breweries or East Africa Standard or, you know, and those were the days. Now, without telling you which year that was, because we live in Kenya today, you may say, wow, those were good times. When before you finish school, a company is chasing after you. Would you like to join us? Would you like to join us? Things have changed anyway. I've given you that little example or illustration to introduce what we want to see. And this is the point I want to make. No one will ever get right with God without being saved. If you're not saved, you can never be right with God. Now, you know, people have tried different ways to get right with God. And I'll be using the word right with God or salvation almost in a similar way here. One can be in the place of another. But people have tried different ways to get right with God. Yes, some people have even tried the way of baptism. If only I can make my way to be baptized, I know I'll be right with God. I know I will be saved. If I give to those who are very needy, and so I never pass town without dipping my hand in the pocket na kutafuta kama niko na change kidogo nikitoka uchumi au nakumat, and I give someone, those who sit by the roadside begging. I want to make sure I give them. Why? Well, you know, I want to get right with God, so they say. And there are various other things people do. Why? Kwa sababu wanataka kuwa haki. Au wapate haki ya Mungu. Okay? Kuwekwa haki. That's to be put right with God. But my friends, today, I have a message. A message for all of us. A message to settle our minds so that we do not struggle we do not find our own ways to get right with God. Our own ways to find or get salvation. I want to set before you here then that there is only one way to get right with God. For the past times and even for now, it has never changed. In my opening example, nilionyesha ya kwamba wakati wetu, companies would run to us and tell us the various offers, privileges, which will be ours if we accept to go and work for them or they train us. But now things have changed. However, the way to get right with God has always been one, ever since, in the Old Testament, through to now, and to the very end of the world. Friends, it is the way of God's righteousness. Now I know I'm going to use terms which may appear big, but there is no way I can reduce them and reduce them and reduce them. You know why? Because those words appear in our passage here. They are in your Bible. When we began to read, in fact, last week, wakati nilihubiri, I showed you in verse 20 of chapter 3, that therefore, no one will be declared righteous. So that's a biblical word, mstari wa ishirini. And then today, as we read, we find, but now, a righteousness from God. So the word righteousness, ingawa, it's not a word which we may often use, it is in the Bible. Let's get to learn to know it. The other word which also we will use, it is in the Bible, is the word justice or justified or justification. It's also in the Bible again and again and again, even in the very passage we are reading. So I do not shy away to use those words because they are there. We need to know them. But now, I want to speak to you therefore about God's righteousness. How does one who is a sinner get right with God? How can a God who is so holy look at a sinner who is condemned and say, free? You go free. There is now no condemnation. How? This passage helps us to understand. So, let's think through then in the few moments we have. And one thing then that we see is here, that this righteousness which God will see and God will accept and therefore God will declare us to go, this righteousness comes from outside of ourselves. It is not from within ourselves, it's from somewhere else, from outside. We will explain as we go on as to then where and who is this person who provides it. And straight away in our passage we see, look at verse 21, because we see there that none other provides it but God himself. God is the provider of this righteousness, verse 21. But now, a righteousness from God. Which God is that? It's the very God who has found us to be guilty. The God who has found us to be condemned, or who has condemned us because of our breaking his law. It's the God who provides, who gives this righteousness. And that shows us something of his mercy. And do you know something? We read that verse and we find, my friends, that even now, vile tumeka hapa, and you are listening to me, even now, this righteousness of God can be yours. This can be yours. It is not just for others out there. It can actually be yours. The Bible says, but now, this righteousness which comes from God. Now, obviously, this is good news. It is really good news. My friends, it is not an afterthought in the mind of God. Wajua kuna watu ambao wanasema, mwanzo, at the beginning or in the Old Testament, God had a plan for the Jewish people, for the Israelites. But because they rejected God's plan for them, then God had to quickly work out a plan B. And therefore had to send the Lord Jesus, ndio sasa, those who were condemned to die because they have sinned, now can find forgiveness. But my friend, that is not the case. In fact, our same verse 21, inatuonyesha, ya kwamba, this has been God's way of working with people who are condemned and bringing them to salvation right from the beginning in the Old Testament. Ukiangalia tena, now our righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. And when we are talking of the law and the prophets, that's another way of describing the Old Testament. So in other words, hata wakati wa agano la kale, those many years ago, God's way of making people or bringing salvation to people was always through Him providing righteousness. It's not a plan B. It's not a God who got frustrated in the Osasa Kaona, let me just now work out something and make sure people can be put right. No, it was from the beginning. And you know, it can be yours by faith. Verse 22 and 23 in Atuambia Ivi. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. There is no difference. Why? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so this is something which God works out, and it is both for the Gentiles and for the Jews. It is for men and for women. It is for every different tribe, for example, in Kenya. And even the way we are here, it's for every one of us. In other words, you can never say, because I'm from this kind of a background, I fall out. I fail to benefit from it. No, my friend. It is for all who believe. And you know how it works? This righteousness which God provides, which comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, is put into your account so that God looks at you and sees the righteousness of Christ now reflected in your account. Let me give a simple example. Most of us here, we have mobile phones. And you know that the M-Pesa has really brought a great revolution in Kenya, at least if we just talk about Kenya. And you can be sitting here in the service and you see your mom ringing, struggling to ring, but you're in the service, so it's like, well, after the service, I'll ring. And then when you talk with your mom, she says, there is this desperate need in the village. And then maybe in your own account, there is some 500 shillings. Then what you do, just by pressing a button, you are able to forward to your mom 200 shillings or 300 or whatever. Just like that. And what happens? Within seconds, then on her mobile phone, you see that you have received so much from your son or from your daughter there in Eldoret. It's wonderful. And so what is on your mobile? It's reflected. Now, in other words, in your account, it has been reflected. It has been reckoned. It has been imputed, if you like. And that is what God does. God takes the righteousness of Christ, and because we are empty, we do not have. In fact, we are condemned. We have failed to obey God's law. And so our account is reading red. Then now the righteousness of Christ is put into our account, so that when God looks at our account, he sees the righteousness of Christ. The amazing thing, my friends, is this. If your mom rings and tells you the story, you feel you're one with mom, and you feel you really, mom deserves to get 300, and you send it straight away without, because you say mom deserves it. You know something? We do not deserve anything from God. Why? We are sinners. We are condemned. There's nothing good in us. It would have been right for God to forget us completely. But my friend, he takes that which is of Christ and he puts it into our account. And then when now he looks, he sees, aha, all is well. Now that is the amazing thing that God does in this matter of righteousness. And now we may ask, as we think of this righteousness, look at verse 24, please. Verse 24. Such people then who get the righteousness of God imputed into their accounts, verse 24, and they are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes by Christ Jesus. Now, redemption is another big word, but it is there in the Bible. We need to know it. And what is it? It is to buy back. It is to buy, again, let's use the example of a mobile. You're walking in town, someone has rang you, and you answer the phone, and as you're talking, what happens? Bah! Someone knocks your hand. Now that happens. It has happened to some people right here with us in this meeting. Your hand is knocked, the phone goes, and it's a phone you loved. Maybe you report the matter. Or lo and behold, a few days later, as you're walking in town, then you find on the, in fact, some particular shop, your phone is on sale. Now, that's almost unimaginable. But it could be yours on sale. And because you loved it so much, you look at it and you realize, actually, there is a price to pay before that phone can be mine again. And you reach into your pocket, and you count the money, and you give the shopkeeper. It's like, you know, now, you must have been the one who stole my phone. Or maybe someone stole it and sold it to the shopkeeper. But because iko hapo, inauzwa, at a certain amount, then you reach and you pay. And then your phone gets back to you. You have redeemed your phone. And my friends, you know, that's exactly what happens. You know, God made us. We officially belong to God. But what happened? We fell in sin. We ran away from God. We abandoned his ways. We became, if you like, we moved away to Satan. And then God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, comes and redeems us. And it's a more complicated matter. But he pays a price. And what price did Christ pay for us to be released? His own death. He fought Satan to death. And we were released. And now we are back to God. We are fully his. We are truly redeemed. And that's what Christ has done. He paid the price. Now there is nothing more to be paid. The price was his own death. But you see, and this is where every example we use can never be one-to-one. You see, you can pay your money to the shopkeeper and get your mobile back. You know, my friends, when we sinned and rebelled against God. God has been angry with us. Yes, truly angry. Now, where we are suffering. But God who remained is also angry. And so what does God do? In the event of Christ coming to redeem us, he comes to get us out of our miserable situation. But at the same time, what Christ does is to make God happy again. You know why? Because wakati tulikimbia kutoka kwa Mungu, we had broken his laws. And God is a just God. God will not say, okay, I know you've broken my law, but that's okay. I hope, I wish, but anyway, no. God's laws must be paid for. Every soul that sins must die. Every sin committed must be punished. And when Christ died, he not only redeemed us from a miserable situation because of our sin, Christ also satisfied God so that his anger is removed from us. That is what Christ has done. You see, friends, God is happy now because Christ paid it all. And it is God himself who planned it that way. We must hear stories, and they still happen up to today, areas where there is no rain, kabisa, or areas where people are just dying, children are dying for some kind of some tragedy. It's happening, epidemic that has just broken in a particular area. Children are dying, people are dying. Elders of that village, we often read or hear about these things. They decide that, look, we are going to sacrifice some animal, whether it be a camel or a big bull in the community, or even a chicken, whatever, or, you know, think of it, or a goat. Now, it is the elders who sit and decide and then say, let us slaughter this, let's give this sacrifice. Maybe the gods, maybe our ancestors may be made to be at peace because we are in trouble. And so they do all that which they will have decided. Do you know? None of us ever decided that Christ should die. But it was God's plan. Ni Mungu mwenyewe ndiye aliplana akasema, I want to save sinful mankind. And I will send my son to do that. And that's the beauty. This is the arrangement God made. And let me tell you that the death of Christ is powerful. So powerful to deal with sins. Sins of the past, sins of now, and sins of the future. The amazing thing indeed. Look at verse 25, please. God presented him, that is Christ Jesus, God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. And so when he talks of the sins committed beforehand unpunished, then he's talking of the Old Testament believers. There are those who in the Old Testament were trusting in God. There were not very many, but there were. They were trusting in God. And they had committed sins, but they were not killed because of their sins. Why? God was looking forward to the cross of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ came, when Christ died, then his death is now powerful to take care of the sins of the past, of the present, and of the future. Amazing indeed. It shows us how wise God is. It shows us, therefore, my friends, that God as a judge is now satisfied. A judge will only be satisfied. I know we've been making a bit of a joke in our house here, asking the children, who is the new Chief Justice and who is the Deputy Chief Justice? Well, I'm sure you all, or majority of you know, Willy Mutunga and Nancy Barasa. These are the people who in Kenya today stand for justice. If you want to know or have a sense of justice, you better look at those two people. Well, we hope they will live to that standard. But you see, God is a God of justice. And God will only be satisfied when justice is done. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, justice is done. But also in the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins are punished. Look at verse 26, please. Verse 26. He, that is, God did it to demonstrate, aonyeshe, to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So therefore, God can never be accused. God, how can you let a guilty person go free? And God will tell you, because of what I have done in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has made me satisfied because he obeyed all my commandments. And he has paid for all the sins of his people. And therefore, I am satisfied. That is how God can both be the just God and also one who lets a sinner go free. This salvation, my friend, can be yours today. Can be yours now. This salvation comes by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say two things. One, if you look at verse 27 to 29, we have two things there. And first of all, let me speak to those of us who claim to be saved. No one among us who claim to be saved, no one among us can ever boast, should ever boast, because it is all by God's grace. Look at verse 27 and 28. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith, apart from observing the law. And so I plead with every member of this church and everyone who claims to be saved, my friend, may there never be a trace of boasting in our lives. You know why? You didn't deserve to be saved. No. I'm sorry, but sometimes some people appear to live as though they deserved to be saved, as though they did something to be saved. And that is horrible. That is sad. That's terrible. Let's remember from where we were received. We were men and women, boys and girls, dead in sin. And God, by his powerful work of grace, removed us and made us alive. And if you are saved now, you should realize it's all but grace. Kama kweli ni neema, which has made you be what you are now. Please, my brother, please, my sister, leave us someone who has been saved by grace. Don't make it appear as though, well, but you deserve it, or you paid some money to have it. I'm urging you and urging myself, let us be active to live to the praise of this God who saved us. You know, he could abandon us. If truly you are saved, but you do not live as one who is saved, he can abandon you.
do without you.
Live as one who, what has made you be where you are is grace. Grace, the Bible tells us, and we sing in this place often, grace is a gift we don't deserve. And so ask yourself then, what are you doing in your life to show that really the salvation ambao umepokea ni ya neema? But then, there are those who are here, you know you are not saved. Bado hujaokoka. Now, maybe you desire to be saved, but you are wondering, can I really be saved? The things that he has said, can they be true of me? What is it that I need or that I am missing if I am to be saved? You may be asking all those questions. And let me tell you, my friend, that God accepts all sinners in the same way. Now you need to hear that. Sometimes you may look at those of us who are saved and you say, if only I was like Pastor, maybe you'd say. If only I was like Mama Tim. If only I was like the other member of the church, then maybe I would be saved. But now, oh, if only, and you cry, if only. But I'm telling you, my friend, God accepts all sinners in the same way. And that is your hope. You don't need to be better. You don't need to please God in any particular way. Could you look with me at verse 28 and 29, please? Verse 28 in Asema, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith, apart from observing the law. Is God then the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. So you see, often I talk with people and I ask, are you saved? No, I'm not, but I'm really trying to be saved. So how are you trying? Well, I know the Ten Commandments. I keep five, but five huwa inanisumbua. So I'm really trying to make sure the other five, I keep them well. Then God will save me. And I'm telling you, there is no corruption with God so as to be saved. The way to be saved is here set before us. It is the same way that all truly saved people have passed. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for all. And there your hope lies. Trust in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. The final objection answered. Let me just show you what often people come up with. Tangu tulianza, when I began teaching, preaching in the book of Romans, and showing that by observing the law, and let's just restrict ourselves to the Ten Commandments. By trying to keep the Ten Commandments, I have shown you repeatedly, you'll never be saved. Why? Now, actually, if you could keep the Ten perfectly, you would be right with God. Because we are told there are two ways. One way is to keep the law perfectly, then you get right with God. But the other one is for those who keeping the law is impossible. Labda wamejaribu wakashindwa, and then it's like, is there another way? How can I be right with God? Yes, there is another way. The other way is to trust the person who has kept the law perfectly. And who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. He has kept the law perfectly. And he is the one, therefore, who people will be saved through. Now, this is the objection. Question who are watu wanauliza. If that is the case, what is the use of having the Ten Commandments? From what you are saying, then the Ten Commandments are useless. You can never keep them perfectly. And since you can't keep them perfectly, they only condemn you, then they are useless. And then, my friend, I want to tell you, no, they are not useless. In fact, they are useful. And you ask me how? You see, the law of God is the very one which has showed us our sinfulness. It's the very one which has shown us that we have broken the very precious precepts of God. The laws are good. God values them. And God is a lawgiver. He's a judge. He can never change His law. He can never push them aside. Willie Mutunga, when he was being sworn in, he swore that he will protect the law of Kenya, the Constitution. And God, I tell you, will protect His law to the end. The law is not bad. However, the law has shown us how sinful we are. In fact, put it this way, the law has shown us our desperate need of the cross of Christ. So the law is not bad. Put it this way, the law and the gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not enemies. Now, they have their specific work. The law shows us how bad we are. The gospel shows us that there is a way of escaping God's judgment. So these two things are never at war with one another. They are carrying out their work as God had intended. The law condemns, yes, but the gospel shows the condemned person how he or she can be right with God. Do you see your need of the gospel, my friend? The gospel is your only hope, therefore. The law is there. The lawgiver insists that his law must stand. But the gospel shows you there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would trust in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. You don't need to be better. You don't need to stop doing some things which you have been doing. You don't need to begin to do nice things so that God may give you a kick. No. Come the way you are, and God will receive you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Well, I want us now to end our worship this morning as we sing together a hymn which I trust makes sense. If that is what it is, then we can be able to sing, "To God be the glory, great things He has done." And you know one of the great things He has done? He has sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for us sinners, that we may be saved. And so, friends, let us stand to hymn number 57, "To God be the glory, great things He has."
We do hope you have been blessed by the sermon you have heard. We want to encourage you to tune in to more of similar messages. We also want to encourage you, if you are able, come and join with us in our worship services at Grace Baptist Church, West Indies, Eldoret, just behind Cogo Flats. Thank you.